From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. Today, I am joined in the studio by Marguerite Salazar, who is the Regional Director for the Rocky Mountain Region of the United States for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, here to talk about the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and some of its provisions. Marguerite, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Marguerite, let's start off by talking about the provisions of the bill that are in effect now. What is available for Utahns to take advantage of today if they choose?
There are so many great provisions that have happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act. One of the first that I think is particularly important for people of Utah is the ban of discriminating against kids with pre-existing conditions. We saw so much of that over the last 25 years where kids who were born with maybe a birth defect or some kind of genetic condition would not be allowed to be put on their family's health insurance. Mm-hmm. No longer can that happen. Second is the ban on insurance companies dropping coverage. A lot of times families would find themselves in a situation where they thought they had insurance, but because of a certain illness, the insurance company could come back and drop that family member from in coverage altogether. Mm-hmm. There's now a ban on insurance companies limiting coverage, ban on companies limiting choice of doctors. The Affordable Care Act does not limit the choice of who you can see as a, you know, if you want to continue seeing your family doctor, you have that choice to do that. And that's one of the myths, which I know we'll get into later, but there is a ban from allowing insurance companies to do that. The other thing is that kids up to the age of 26 can now go back onto their family's insurance health plan. Mm-hmm. And before that, although I know in Utah that law had already been in effect, but across the country that was not true. Only kids up to age 23 could get back on their family's insurance plan. And then one of the biggest for me too that I talk to people about is that there are no more lifetime limits on what you can receive through your insurance benefits for people who get particularly sick, have surgeries, have cancer, they can no longer be dropped.
And Marguerite, as you know, there is certainly an effort underway in Congress with the new House GOP caucus to repeal the law. This is of particular interest in Utah because some of Utah's congressional delegation is helping lead the charge for this effort. What, from your perspective, would be the consequences of repealing the law?
Well, I think at a time when Utah residents will soon be finally free from worrying about affordable coverage, to have this law repealed would just be going backwards. For example, some of the consumer protections that would be lost would be the 11,600 young adults who have been able to get back on their family's insurance would have to get off. There are about 1.6 million people in Utah who do have insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. All of those people would be affected by those coverage protections that I talked about earlier. That would be a big risk. Utah has been able to receive some federal assistance to continue working on their small business insurance exchange. That money would have gone away or would go away for the future. Some of your leaders have asked about assistance for setting up the computer system. They've already got a good one set up, but they need to go further to make sure that eligibility and pricing is worked in there. All of that would go away.
And since there's so much information and so many perspectives about the bill that are circulating, tell me, Marguerite, how do we know who to trust when it comes to this conversation we're having about this bill and what exactly it's going to do? Because if I were to have the same conversation with, for example, Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz or Rob Bishop, I would hear something totally different.
Well, one of the best sites that I think is available for people who are computer literate and most of our population is to go on to www.healthcare.gov. Mm-hmm. It's very consumer friendly. It's a website that has a glossary of terms. It's got every aspect of the healthcare law that you can think of. You can put your own demographic information in there, ask questions. It'll explain what benefits are available for you and your family, and specifically what is available in Utah. It is an honest, legitimate site. It's one of the best that I can offer people to go to, and I would highly recommend that people go to that website and ask the questions themselves.
And finally, Marguerite, I want to ask about a portion of the bill that is not in effect, and that is the requirement to purchase health insurance without getting into this constitutional conversation. I am curious, why is it such an important component of the bill?
I've been looking at that question a lot over the past few days because people talk about that in very different terms. Mm-hmm. People understand that there's a personal responsibility that goes with taking care of ourselves and making sure that we are at the best level of health possible. And so having an individual mandate is saying that we're the individual is going to participate in making sure that this plan will be affordable and that they will buy into it. I spent a lot of my career working with low-income folks and using federal money to make sure that they would have access to health care. And I found that one of the number one things that I could do for them was to have them pay a portion of their care. It wasn't a free clinic that we offered, but everybody paid through a sliding scale a portion that was and it was based on their income and the number of people in their family. I had an above 90% collection rate from that group of people. They paid better than people with health insurance. So I know that you offer dignity to people when they have the opportunity to participate in the payment. Now, I know that's a little bit different than being required, but there has to be a way that we can pay for this big plan, and I know that's been a big complaint about how are we going to ever afford to do this plan. That's why I believe the individual mandate is real critical.
We've been speaking with Marguerite Salazar, the regional director for the Rocky Mountain States of the Department of Health and Human Services. Marguerite, thank you so much.
Thank you.